Welcome back to This Week in College Football. I am your host, Andrew Diaz, joined by CFB Talk Daily. Obviously, we're going to address the elephant in the room. The pod has been dormant as of late, but we're bringing it back. Mainly the motivation from CFB Talk Daily, which I'm super excited about. He's been the driving force behind all of this, the reason we've got the pod going. So we're coming back doing a little NFL draft talk to as we are coming up on the draft, being tomorrow or tonight whenever you hear this. So looking forward to that, seeing some of our favorite college players coming off the board. But CFB Talk Daily, how are you?
I'm good, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get it back, talk some college ball. I've been just talking to my roommate about it up here at school, and I think he's getting sick of me. So it's good to talk to somebody else that has a good appreciation for it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like my friends get sick of me too, and I'm always the draft guy, and I'm like, you ever see that meme of the guy with the whiteboard who's like freaking out?
Yes. Yeah, that's how I feel.
That's like me with the big board.
I've got my like Excel sheet with my draft big board, and I want to show it to people. It's kind of like, oh, look at all this hard work I put in. They're more concerned about how I should be doing in classes or something to that extent. But yeah, this is an exciting time of the year. It might be my favorite time of the year, other than, you know, week zero of college football getting the season underway. But I love the draft. I think it's so much fun hearing the media personalities, you know, kind of just come up with takes. And by the time the draft rolls around, you really don't know what's true and what's not. So I imagine you're kind of in the same boat with me there.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, so many smoke screens. Like, I keep seeing people, like, make a big deal about, like, C.J. Stroud missing, like the Manning passing camp when he was in high school. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I know one of my friends went to that camp. I got invited to it. And he cannot throw a football. He is terrible.
Yeah. It's they're trying. It's now become, we're at the point where it's just nitpick everything. So that is the one part where I am glad that the, you know, pre-draft stuff is coming to an end, because we're getting less and less of that. So that's definitely a perk. But it is always disappointing that when the combine season and draft comes to an end, but that also means we're getting closer to football, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, me too. So I think I want to stick on the draft for a little bit. So I want to know, give me one person you think is underrated in the draft, and then give me a bust.
So I'll give you my bust first. I think is Anthony Richardson. And look, I saw the video from his pro day. It's great that he can throw the ball through the dome in Florida, but it's just, we saw him play last year. I don't know if you think the same that I do. He didn't look too impressive throwing the ball last year. And if you're going to be an NFL quarterback, you're not going to be running as much as you were in college. He's a great athlete, great runner. I just don't think he's a really good passer. And I also don't think it's his fault that he's been propped up like this. It's the media that's propped him up as much as it's been. So if he's a bust, it's going to be very unfortunate, because seems like a good player. Seems like a good kid. I just don't see it with him. I know Levis and him have been like the main discourse in the draft, really, about where they'll fall and kind of what they'll do in the league. But I think Richardson's my bust. And then my surprise player, I don't even know if we could call him a surprise because he shot up the draft board so much, is Kalijah Kansi from Pitt. Watching him is so enjoyable. Just so quick with his hands. Flips the hips so nicely. And I know it was against Rhode Island, but when you watch the tape from that game, he is just abusing any offensive lineman, running back that they put in front of him. And I don't know, maybe we're getting the next great Pitt 3 tech to come into the league. So he's a guy that I've fallen in love with this draft season. And then another guy is John Michael Schmitz, the center from Minnesota. Just a massive player, a really smart player as well, that I think is going to be a day one starting center for a team. And if anybody gets him in the second round, I think that's a steal. I have him in the first round going to the Giants, but if anybody gets him past that, I think it's just a big time steal of a player. How about you?
Well, first, I just want to ask, do you have like a full like 7-round mock draft, or just a 1st-round mock draft?
The seven round might actually kill me if I did that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I
It
was gonna say, if you do a 7 round, you're actually crazy.
at that point, because there's so many trades. Like, once you even doing a first round one is fun to do, but the amount of trades that could occur, last year there was a good amount of trades. It's tough. And the seven round one is just, it would be brutal. I commend the people that do those, but I think the most that you could do would still be looked at as sane is like 2 to 3 rounds, because that's a little more predictable. But if you go to the full seven, that's wild stuff.
Yeah, once you're like doing like a 7 round, you're just throwing like darts at a board and like hoping that like they stick.
You'll land,
So for
guys will
me,
hit like one pick in the seventh round, and that's a huge win. And honestly, I'd be celebrating that win too if I guessed, the 198th pick of the draft. I would be pretty pumped if
yeah,
I nailed
like mysteries nailed Mr. Irrelevant.
that.
Yeah, so for me, I was gonna say the same thing, Anthony Richardson, but I'll say Levis for now, but just because the same thing, like we watched you play football last year. We know you cannot throw the ball. Like, I don't know why the media keeps propping you up as like the second coming, but like Anthony Richardson, great athlete. Like he can do like insane things on the field, but like that's cool in college when you're a better athlete than everyone else. But when you get to the NFL and everyone is a physical freak, like I feel like it's not gonna work.
And like we both kind of said, it's really not even their fault. The media is just, Kuiper has pretty much destroyed Levis at this point, because if he doesn't turn out to be the second coming of Tom Brady, then he's screwed. Kuiper was calling him the best quarterback in the draft and really hyping him up towards the end of the season. So both guys are honestly in like unwinnable situations where even if they play solid as rookies and have good careers, they'll still be looked at as like, oh, you were supposed to be the next great quarterback coming out of college. So I do kind of feel bad for him in a sense.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think when's the last time Mel Kiper, like I saw something the other day, I was on Reddit and people were like listing all of Mel Kiper's like bad takes. And he is all I mean, he's been in the draft for like probably longer than you've been alive. But he has a lot of really bad takes in the past. So I think this might be another one of those.
What was it? Who did he say it was? Was it like Brady Quinn? Or it was at some
Yeah.
quarterback that he was like, if he's not a starter in 5 years, I'll resign. Or if he's not like an all pro in 5 years, I'll resign. And we know how that went. I think it was Brady Quinn. I could be wrong, but that it and people are kind of digging that one back up as one of his all time bad takes. Kind of hey, when are you going to resign now?
Yeah, he said Jimmy Clausen is going to be an all-time pro quarterback in this league, better than Aaron Rodgers. Like, come on. Then he said some. I'm trying to find. There's a few of them that he said, but that was my favorite one. The Jimmy Clausen, the Brady Quinn one was good too, because it's just so like they're both just so bad in the league that it makes it so funny.
Yeah, it's not even like they were middle of the road backups. Like, even like a Brandon
So my
Hoyer would be
sleeper was
okay.
actually. Yeah. My sleeper also from Pitt, but different Pitt player. I was gonna say Carter Warren. He's
I like
I
that.
just said he was like a 3rd round pick, but I think he's probably gonna be in the second. He's a big tackle. I like how he plays. He's 6'5", over 300 pounds already, so he did tear his meniscus in college, so I feel like that's like why all our teams are docking him. But I think the talent's there.
I love that. I love showing the O linemen some love. I'm huge on this.
I know, right? It's pretty rare. I went O-line. You went like a skill, I think.
I picked for my underrated. I went O and D line, but then Richardson for my bust. I went with Canty and Michael Schmitz from Minnesota. But are there any?
Yeah.
I think. Do you have another guy before we move on, or no?
No, I just put one. I know we were doing two. I could think of another one if you wanted to, but.
Yeah, I'd love to hear another one if you got one.
I would say I think Darius Rush. I think he's a corner from South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's I'm big on him too. I think I've talked to him once or twice. He seems like a good guy. He's very fast. I think that's the thing. The SEC, people talk about this. I know it's a meme, the SEC speed, but for him, you can just see like he just seems like he's so much faster than everyone else. And I don't know why it's not being talked about. I mean, he didn't have the best college stats, but he also like has good technique, so
Yeah. It You brought up a corner, which is kind of what I was segueing to, is I think this might be the greatest year of corners in the draft, where we could see five or six go in the first round, which would be absolutely wild. And like five or six go in the top 25, not even be, you know, the 31st overall pick. I just think this year is so stacked, and there's three guys I think you could put as your number one corner that I'd almost be fine with Devon Witherspoon, Christian Gonzalez, and Joey Porter Jr.
I have a hot take for you here.
Yes.
And this is going to rustle some feathers. Being an Oregon fan, I do not think Christian Gonzalez should be a first round pick.
Really?
I disagree. I do not think he was that good this year. I don't know what he's like kind of my Will Levis as an Oregon fan.
Huh. Because and it's not even about him being a first rounder. People are talking.
I guess I could be Mel Kiper here. Don't get me wrong. I could be Mel Kiper. This could age terribly, but just my opinion.
Where who would be your top three corners in the draft this year if Gonzalez isn't in your top three?
No, well, that's the thing. I think he is, but just the way like I keep seeing people say like, oh, he should be the top corner in the draft. I think that's crazy. I think because I think I have Joey Porter at one for sure, and then probably Witherspoon at two, and Gonzalez like three or four, but he's not bad. I just don't see the best corner on the board, top 10 pick.
That's fair. That is definitely fair. I have Witherspoon as my one, Gonzalez as my two, Porter as my three, and then I like Deonte Banks too, and I think even putting him at corner four is, you know, no disrespect. I just think it shows how deep this class is, because even after him, you've got Cam Smith, Emmanuel Forbes, Darius Rush, like you had mentioned. There's a lot of just absolute dog. Kelee Ringo. There are dogs in this class at corner. And could go down as like one of the great corner classes of all time.
What are your thoughts on the linebacker, Kelly Ringo?
The linebacker, Kelee Ringo.
The linebacker, Kelly Ringo.
I don't know. I mean, he's definitely a unique player. I think throwing him probably as like the seventh best corner is, or eighth best corner of the draft is, you know, fair, it's respectable, but to have him try to rival some of the top guys, and this is a little absurd. And I don't think that'll be one take Georgia fans are too hot on, especially with it being a Georgia guy. So, you know, again, you never know what guys are going to pan out. I just don't see with him at least being one of those top guys coming out of the class.
Yeah, no, me either. I feel the same way about that. So let's talk about some spring game overreactions,
Yeah,
if you're ready for that.
I am all in.
All right, where do you want to start? Because I know where
Colorado,
I'm going.
just Colorado. Give me Colorado.
Okay. So the mass exodus that is. The train has left Colorado Station and everyone seems to be on
At what point does it get concerning? Because 20 players in the portal, that's probably, you know, remaining Colorado guys, but 46 is n a number that cannot go untouched any longer, just unnoticed. 46 is a wild number of players.
Yeah, I think two more transferred two after that tweet. So I think now they have 20 players who have game experience on the roster.
That's crazy to me. Like, oh my God. What do you think the issue is? I mean, obviously there were the Deion comments like initially right off the rip, I'm bringing my luggage, so if you're not in, kind of pack your bags. But what do you kind of think the main issue is there? Because I don't think one comment's gonna, you know, kick the can that far down the road to lead to almost 50 players transferring.
Well, I saw one player, I can't think of his name right now. I retweeted it on See If You Talk Daily, but he said that he got told to transfer by the staff. So I think maybe
Jesus.
Deion's like, well, I think he's maybe like, okay, you're not gonna play. So like, just which it sounds worse than it is. I think that's like some players just kind of
Yeah.
appreciate like knowing like if you're better on that chart, like you might as well just if you want to play, go elsewhere.
Yeah. It is just strange overall to see that. But I guess that is it. Colorado wants to win. They want to build a culture, and they picked Deion to be that guy, which, you know, it worked in Jackson State. So I mean, if you're gonna let him, if you want to win, and this is the vision he has, I guess you got to kind of ride with it and, hope it works out. Seems like a 1 year thing. I think this year could be a rough one for Colorado, and they'll get lumped up. But the next
Oh,
few
yeah.
years, he's gonna get his guys in, recruit heavy, and Colorado could be a really good looking team in the Pac-12 or whatever conference is going to soon exist out west. So, or it'll just be the Mountain West, Mountain West Senior, pretty much, with all the teams
Yeah,
leaving the
literally.
Pac-12.
So I was basically ready to fire up all the Colorado beating Nebraska and Matt memes, like get ready for the year. And I've pumped the brakes on designing them. The design process has halted because I'm not so confident it's going to happen anymore.
Yeah, that might it will be. It's awesome that that game's coming back. I mean, especially with two new head coaches, two very different head coaches with Dion and Matt Rhule. So, Nebraska's a fan base I'd like to see get back because they're so passionate, and it's not fair weather whatsoever. They're there through, the fun times, and they've been there the past 10 years when it has not been fun whatsoever to be a Nebraska football fan. So I have great respect for them.
Yeah, me too. I will say that's one thing about Nebraska. Like, I know there's the Husker Wave, that's a Twitter account. Like, these guys were so passionate. Meanwhile, like, everyone else in the country knew, like, every week with Scott Frost, they were going to get slapped. And for somehow, they found optimism every week.
The Scott Frost era will be one that scientists study one day, and just and it'll be a case study of the fans' happiness while still being, really bad, rolling a Scott Frost coach team on the field, and it will baffle some of the brightest minds that the world has to offer. And I'm very curious as to just how they kept smiling and showing up to games.
But the problem with Scott Frost was he left for the wrong program. He clearly should take the UConn job instead.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right with Jim Mora. I'm loving the Mora life right now. We made a bowl game. That's all I want. We're a
The stability of Jim
football.
Mora.
We're a football, basketball, and now a baseball school. It's glorious.
You're a steady football program right now. It's just things are okay.
That's all I want. Some people want to win national titles. I just want to make a bowl game every year. Don't care if we win or lose. It would be nice to win them. But
Just nice to be
just keep us 6-6. Give us a 7-5, maybe an 8-4 year at some point. But
Yeah,
I have
like, seventh
no.
win is your national championship.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I want them to just have one big win over like an SEC program at some point. That's all I'm asking for. It's not that difficult. A man can wish.
Listen, schedule Rutgers, and there's a Big Ten win right there for you guys.
How has your fandom been over this college football offseason as a Rutgers fan?
Things are going well. I'm passionate. I actually have one gripe with the Rutgers fan base, and so there's a Facebook group that my one friend keeps sending me because he's a big Rutgers guy too, and they keep using all of our tweets for like talking points.
Oh,
And I
really?
tried to join my personal Facebook, and I got declined like to join the group.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so if they're seeing this, Rutgers fans all caps on the Facebook, let me in the group.
I'm going to infiltrate on our behalf.
Yeah, I did see one of the Rutgers writers. Someone sent them an email that said the Rutgers should go after Bill Belichick. So,
God, I love college football. I love this sport.
that's how our off season is going. We have a spring game this Saturday. I'll be there, so that'll be cool. I
Nice.
want to talk about Florida.
Okay.
The Florida spring game, or any of it.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Did you see any of the Florida spring game? The
I saw.
7-7 barn burner.
I was gonna say I saw the final score, which just blew me away. I was very confused by that. Is that does that mean we're going to see one of the greatest defenses of all time roll out on the field, or one of the worst offenses of all time roll out on the field? Where do you kind of stand with that? Because I think it could be a good defense, but also a very bad offense.
So I read like a lot of Florida boards, and it seems, and I'm gonna say I'm passionately optimistic, cautiously optimistic here. I think Florida's defense is actually pretty good,
Just
so
a
I'm gonna
wagon.
cut them a little bit of a slack, being real here. But The offense just stinks, dude. They stink.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think they had like no offensive linemen that like started last year, like on their offensive line for the spring game too. So like they were kind of getting like manhandled by an SEC line. But who their quarterback is it Cone to have it as a quarterback? Is right after this
Oh,
year.
Graham Mertz.
Graham Mertz. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, sorry, I had it back. He, I don't know if you watched like the Big Ten a little bit. He was not very good, and now he's there, and he's still not very good. So,
He's a fine QB. He's like, I don't think he's a bottom of the barrel guy, but he's not the SEC game change, like program changing type of guy that a team will go after in the portal.
yeah, like that's what you need when you're in the SEC. You need like a game changer quarterback if you want to beat like Alabama or like, hey, Kirby Smart, we're gonna give you fits. Like, Graham Mertz is not gonna be the guy.
It is wild what's gone on with that Florida QB room the past, this past season, where you had Richardson had a great year, is going to be probably a top 10 draft pick. Kitna's kid got arrested for distribution of child pornography, and then you had the recruit that said the N-word on video. I mean, it's just been every possible option they had at quarterback is just, gone. So it's got to be tough if you're a Florida fan. I've seen the offense struggle like that.
Yeah. Don't forget they had a free agent signing and a G1 Rashada go south as well. And he
Oh,
wanted
yeah.
$10 million in NOI money, and then they were like, we don't think so.
I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah, they resorted to signing free agents and it still didn't go.
Jeez. Brutal offseason for the Gators, man.
Yeah, I saw LSU. They looked pretty good, which I'm starting to worry about my LSU take because you know how I feel about Brian and Kelly. I said they were gonna stink, and like I'm starting to think they may not stink.
I started to come around a little bit more on LSU at the end of the year. Was, all right, maybe I don't hate Brian Kelly as much. And then Tommy Reese left for the SEC. Granted, it's for Bama, but now I'm just cursing the SEC from top to bottom. And LSU is just going to catch more shrapnel for that. But yeah, they look good. It's kind of scary how good I think the SEC could be this year too. Again, year after year, they just get richer and richer. So, I think LSU is a good shot to get back to that SEC title game.
Yeah, no, me too. Actually, I'm starting to eat my words because I said on Twitter that they weren't going to be very good, and then I saw this spring game. They looked like pretty crisp already. So like, I'm like sweating in my boots because now you can see on Twitter. Like, I replied. I said I don't think I was using it very good this year, and then it said one bookmark.
Oh
So like I know
no.
that guy is like sitting like somewhere in like the bayou of LSU, like Louisiana, and he's like ready for like their 11-win season just to come back to
Jesus. What
that.
did you think of the Oklahoma spring game that definitely got a lot of overreaction, including from myself? Because when I saw, I didn't realize they're scoring. And then I saw like the 84-82 point spring game, which I think a lot of fans still think, or a lot of college football fans still think that was the actual final of, just
Well,
points scored.
I actually didn't see the how the scoring worked, so if you want to explain it, but I will say that it wouldn't shock me because Venables is there now, but typical Oklahoma defense giving up 80 points would not seem to worry me. Alex Grinch is gone, but
Yeah.
like his soul still lives in the defensive rooms.
So I don't have the full breakdown, but the defense, like the white team would get certain points for a fourth down stop, for they had things like explosive plays. If you got a turnover, there were points. So the points were coming from, not actual scored points, but from different aspects of the game. But it's still, I don't know if I would fully publicize an 84 point, almost 160, pretty much over 160 points being scored in a game. I don't think I would publicize that if I were Oklahoma.
Yeah, me either. I know a lot of schools use like weird scoring systems for the spring game, but like Rutgers, I know it's the same thing, right? It's like 4 points for a fourth down stop, you get like 2 points for a turnover. We don't get many of those because, not Oklahoma, but the explosive plays we lack. All right, so the last thing I want to get into is that off-season position battles. Maybe bring up one or two that you're interested in.
So we touched on this before we even started recording, was the one I was going to be interested in was going to be Buckner versus Hartman at Notre Dame. As a Notre Dame fan, I'm invested as a fan. Obviously, I want to see how this position battle is going to go down. And then Buckner enters his name into the transfer portal and it kind of just washes away. So I'm now in the search for like a fun position battle to follow. But I mean, that one kind of seemed over after Hartman played his, played very well in the spring game, and Buckner didn't play very well. And, he lost the year last year getting injured, and Pine coming in and playing about as well as Drew Pine could. And I was kind of happy with him. But so that was the one I really was invested in. But I don't really know now. I got to find something to get me really back into, a fun position battle.
All right, well, so I'll end this with one, and it's a bit of an obvious one. You're probably gonna be like, "Oh yeah, I could have just said that," but and I know they said that Ewers is gonna be the starter, but Quinn versus Archie Manning, I'm excited. I feel like every year a Texas quarterback gets hurt, so it always seems like they go through a few. Like last year, they did, so I think we'll probably see Archie anyway this year. But I just know that his first game is going to be electric,
Oh my God.
like even if he like gets in and like just hands the ball off, people are gonna like there's gonna be a someone's gonna make a YouTube video like breaking down Archie Manning's first snap. It's going to be like just like drops in the middle.
I hope that game is in Austin, like the first game he appears in. Just to hear, I want to get the crowd reaction to that. Even if they could be playing, a lower level, they could be playing an FCS school for all it matters, and the fans are going to be, going insane, for Arch Manning anytime he touches the field. So yeah, I can't believe I didn't think of that one. I guess just because they named Ewers, I kind of put it to the back burner. But yeah, you never know with fall camp, with summer camp, kind of what could transpire where, Manning looks really good and Ewers maybe regresses a step.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of cheating because they did say that you were going to be the starter. But I feel like a lot of coaches say things like that, and then things change.
Yeah, that's definitely got to be the one that all of college football is just, it's really just going to depend on waiting on week one, who goes out there and takes the first snap.
And then, like every game, like this season, like if Texas loses a game, the Arch Manning like siren is going to be sounded like.
Oh yeah. It'll I feel bad for Quinn Ewers. I mean, he is on the hottest of hot seat from the fan bases for really no for no real reason other than them
For
having
no
Arch Manning.
reason. Yeah, literally. Like he has one game where he throws for like one touchdown. Like the Longhorn like boards are gonna be like, what is this? Why are we having this guy play quarterback when we have the second coming?
That will be a fun Reddit to like dive into the Saturday afternoon after a Texas loss where Quinn Ewers doesn't play, outstanding.
Yeah, and then they don't put Arch in, and people are gonna be like, why is he not playing? Did you see, real quick, speaking of Reddit, did you see the Will Levis thing? Like, someone said they know him and he's going to go number one overall.
Yeah, apparently he was telling his family like Carolina's a done deal,
Yeah.
which now that throws an even just bigger wrinkle in. It feels like I was thinking Stroud would be number one. Then it felt like clear cut Bryce. Now with this Levis thing going on, Carolina gave up a haul of picks and probably their best player with DJ Moore to get the number one pick. You think they'd take one of the guys that was, an elite college quarterback like Young or Stroud? And if they take Levis, I think that fan base, the remaining people of that fan base will revolt.
Yeah, I'll be physically ill if they take Will Levis, just so you know. Like, yeah, but so my last thing with that is I saw like a theory that someone said that they made that post and then like just to move the line just to bet on like Stroud number one overall or something like that.
I don't hate that. I really do not hate that theory whatsoever. I mean, it would be crazy because the line was super. I mean, it was super. I think in the favor of Young, go number one. Last I checked earlier this morning, but I'll make my picks probably around 3 or 4 o'clock on Thursday. Really do a little bit more reading and kind of touch up on some stuff, and then make my what I feel to be educated picks that are in no way educated. Because once the draft starts, all chaos breaks loose.
Yeah, literally. But all right, so I think maybe we should try in 2 weeks to make a new episode. So we'll hopefully
Yeah.
have Sunny for that one. You couldn't get out of work tonight, so.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so.
This week in college football is back. It feels a little bit more like this month in college football or this bi-weekly in college football, but
Yes, it's bi-weekly.
we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. Reach out on Twitter, give us your draft takes, what you thought of the episode, and kind of where who your theories and thoughts about the draft coming up. But yeah, thank you for listening to This Week in College Football, and make sure you're following at CFB Talk Daily on Twitter.